Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Continuous Coverage.
Continuous Coverage.
Continuous Coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
It is. Let's go to the courtroom for today's segment number one in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, we are, we're on the record on case CR 22-21-1624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow. At this time, we have scheduled a jury instruction conference with counsel, the parties having both rested. I'll note on the record that earlier today, the court conducted an informal conference with the parties we did take a stenographic record of those proceedings, and that was an informal jury instruction conference. We are now going on the record to look at final argument as to the proposed jury instructions. The prosecution's here present. The defense, as well as the defendant, is present in the courtroom. The jury is not present for these proceedings. The court would indicate the existing courtroom conduct orders are still in effect for this hearing, as well as the viewing locations and in this courtroom. At this time, then, let me just inquire. We did redraft and sent the most updated version of jury instructions to counsel over the lunch break. I believe they've been received, and we'll go through them each at a time on the record. Did the state receive the new updated version of the jury instructions?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Has the defense received those as well?
Yes.
All right. Counsel, I'll note also we do have a draft version of the verdict form as well, which was just provided to counsel in paper copy. So at this time, we'll take up the instructions themselves. I'll note that the instructions 1 through 10 have previously been provided and read to the jurors. Those will be included in the jury instructions that will be provided to the jurors tomorrow morning. The court will go through and reread some of those instructions to be determined by the court as we go forward with the new instructions. So we'll take up starting at instruction number 11, and I'll just call through each of these on the record and indicate whether there's any objections or not. So on jury instruction number, what is now number 11, does the state have any objection to that instruction as included in the draft?
No, Your Honor, we do not.
From the defense?
No objection.
All right, instruction 11 will be given. Jury instruction number 12, any objection from the state?
No objection as to number 12.
For the defense?
Your Honor, we had previously brought up that some of the evidence or some of the exhibits are not evidence. I think jury instruction, the following one, number 13, may cover that. But if the language in jury instruction number 12 needed to reflect that, was our request.
All right. The courts considered that request that some of the exhibits were for a limited purpose. The court does have an instruction on number 15 that addresses that. I did consider that objection and will overrule it. So instruction number 12, as it's been submitted, is going to be supplied by the court. Jury instruction number 13.
Your Honor, the state would suggest one change to the last sentence. The defendant may be found guilty or not guilty on either or both of the offenses charged. I think we would suggest that be changed to any or all of the offenses since there are more than two charged.
All right. Response to that from the state?
That makes sense since there's more than two charges.
Okay, that's a good catch. Thanks, counsel. We will amend jury instruction number 13 to conform with multiple charges here, so we'll get an amended version of that, which will not say either or both, so we'll correct that language. Thank you, counsel. Jury instruction number 14.
The state has no objection to 14.
Defense?
On jury instruction 14, we proposed language to clearly identify what the court is talking about here. We proposed language that would, this evidence includes incidents in Arizona, including Charles Vallow, Brandon Bedreau, and 404B evidence. Since that's what this instruction is referring to, we thought it a further explanation would assist the jury.
All right. Does the state have a response to that?
Your Honor, I think the state had previously indicated, and our position would be that adding that additional information may only confuse the jurors. The state's recollection and understanding is some of the evidence that came in regarding those individuals did not fall under 404B. While we recognize some did and probably the majority, I think the court gave appropriate instructions throughout. And if anything, only a mention to those instructions given by the court. I believe those may be covered further in the jury instructions, but we believe the appropriate instructions have been given and 14 as drafted would be the least confusing mechanism for the jury to receive this instruction.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. The court has considered the comment from both the defense and the state. After the informal conference this morning, we did add a sentence into this instruction, which is the second sentence. That states, at the time this evidence was introduced, you were advised of its limited purpose. I think with that reference back to the advisement that occurred in court, as well as the remainder of this being a standard jury instruction that the court views as properly defining limited evidence as it relates to 404B, that continuing or ongoing objection will be overruled. And so this jury instruction number 14 is going to be given as it's indicated here in the draft. All right, on jury instruction number 15, I will note that we went in and took out three of the listed exhibits, which were summary exhibits, not demonstrative, and made that amendment during the since the last conference. And so with that in mind, does the state have any objection to 15 as it states now?
No, Your Honor, no objection.
From the defense?
No objection.
All right, 15 will be given. Instruction number 16. Any objection from the state?
The state has no objection.
From the defense?
Since there was another instruction on aiding and abetting, we asked the court to consider the other language of aiding and abetting, and since they may be not defined the same, we will lodge an objection.
All right, does the state have any response to that objection?
Yes, Your Honor. I do not see this jury instruction as providing a definition for aiding and abetting. I think that is provided in a later jury instruction. While I recognize that language is included here, there's no definition that the state sees as being provided. So we think the jury instruction should stand as is and let aiding and abetting be defined later on.
All right, the court's considered the objection, and I will overrule that and allow for this instruction to be provided, as there is going to be subsequent definition of aiding and abetting within the substantive instructions. So jury instruction number 16 will be given. Jury instruction number 17. Any objection from the state?
No objection from the state.
No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you. 17 will be given. Instruction number 18. Any objection on that from the state?
No objection from the state.
From the defense?
No objection.
Very well. 18 will be given to the jurors. Jury instruction number 19, response from the state.
The state has no objection, Your Honor.
All right, and I will note on that one, there were some revisions made as well on the break as accounting for the description of the crimes and the conspiracy charges. Mr. Archibald, upon review of that, does the defense have any objection to the way it's now written?
As it's alleged in the indictment, the grand jury combined first-degree murder and grand theft by deception into one count. That's count one, and then both charges combined in count three. I think the way jury instruction number 19 reads is that the jury in this case should consider those crimes separately. We've previously objected to we've previously asked the court to send the indictment back to the grand jury for clarification if it was one crime or two crimes. And so we believe jury instruction 19 does not accurately reflect how my client was indicted by the grand jury.
All right, does the state have a response to the defense objection on 19?
Yes, Your Honor. In looking at 19, there's a breakdown of counts 1 and 3, which included the crimes of first-degree murder and grand theft by deception, and then it references count 5, which is just an agreement to commit first-degree murder. Looking at the language moving forward, I don't have the same concern as defense. I don't see how there's any confusion with regard to what crimes are charged within each count. So I believe the way that it's written now would comply with the standard ICJIS and be appropriate. And I don't see it as being confusing, indicating they don't need to agree upon every detail and then defining or talking about how an agreement can be established. So we would request that it remain as written.
All right. The court did modify this instruction after the informal conference when the defense raised a concern about the conjunctive, well, having murder and grand theft by deception together and whether that was a crime singular or crime plural. In order to resolve any confusion that could result, the court went back to the language of the indictment itself, now the amended indictment, and took the actual language out of there, indicating that on counts 1 and 3, it is crimes of first degree murder and grand theft by deception. So with that clarification, the court will keep this jury instruction as now modified and overrule the objection of the defense. So jury instruction number 19 will be given. Jury instruction number 20 from the state. Any objection?
No objection from the state.
For the defense?
No objection.
20 will be given. Instruction 21?
No objection. Okay. Oh, I apologize, Your Honor. No objection from the state.
No objection.
All right. 21 will be given. Instruction 22?
No objection from the state.
For the defense?
No objection.
Okay. 22 will come in. 23?
No objection from the state.
For the defense?
No objection.
All right, that one will be provided. Instruction 24 for the state?
No objection, Your Honor.
For the defense?
No objection.
Very well. Instruction 25, I'll note this is one that was modified after objections were lodged, and with the new instruction, let me first hear from the state. Is there any objection to instruction 25 as it's now written?
No objection, Your Honor.
For the defendant?
Our previous objection was to the addition of the federal agency or United States of America, so we'll stand by that objection.
Okay. I'll note the instruction initially did not contain that federal agency or United States of America language. The court considered that objection, and it was added in. Again, looking at the amended indictment as it's charged and relating to who person would be defined of within the theft offenses charged, the court finds it appropriate to include that information based on the request of the state, so the objection's overruled and instruction 25 will be provided. Number 26 from the state?
No objection, Your Honor.
For the defense?
No objection.
All right, that one will come in. Number 27?
No objection from the state.
For the defense?
Your Honor, this jury instruction number 27 was a subject of the amended indictment with different code sections and different definitions of theft. So where there's been some confusion on whether my client is charged with intent to deceive or intent to deprive, we lodge an objection.
Okay, what's the response from the state?
Your Honor, the state's response is this is in compliance with the standard Idaho proposed jury instructions. It also, regardless of which code section it's charged under, theft would always include the wrongful taking, obtaining, or withholding of property from the owner of another. The difference would be potentially by which means that was done. But given the court's ruling on that and the language reflected in the indictment, as well as the evidence that came in, we feel that this does conform in all aspects.
All right, I've considered the objection on jury instruction number 27 as it relates to how the amended indictment now reads, the court does find that's an appropriate instruction that will assist the jurors in applying the law to the facts of this case. So jury instruction number 27 will be provided. Jury instruction number 28.
The state has no objection.
All right, and this is a long instruction. If you need a moment to continue to look at that, Mr. Archibald, you may.
On jury instruction number 28, the defense lodged an objection due to the language in this instruction not mirroring the indictment from the grand jury. The indictment from the grand jury, the defense had requested that it be sent back to the grand jury for clarification, and this is the... And this is now reflecting that issue, that the jury instruction tries to clarify what the grand jury could not. So we believe that that's improper for the court to fix the grand jury's errors. The some of the errors are contained in paragraph 3, where the and or language has been added. That's not what the grand jury indicted my client on. The grand jury indicted Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell and Alex Cox and other co-conspirators. This jury instruction now says Lori with Chad and or Alex. So it's giving the state of Idaho more options in their charging, given the jury more options to convict that the grand jury did not indict my client on. Also in paragraph 4, the grand jury described murder and grand theft as one charge. Again, the defense asked the indictment be sent back to the grand jury for clarification, and that request was denied. So we're stuck with murder and grand theft being one crime, not multiple crimes, in paragraph 4. In paragraph 5, we believe this misstates the crime. Paragraph 5 of jury instruction number 28 says the defendant intended that at least one of the crimes would be committed. Again, we believe the grand jury indicted the defendant on one crime called murder and grand theft. And so because of those errors, we don't think that this court should fix those errors at a jury instruction conference. So that's why we're objecting to jury instruction number 28.
All right. Considered those objections, I'd like to hear a response from the state.
Thank you, Your Honor. And I'll try to take them through the way defense did, because there were a couple different sections identified there. So first, looking at number 3, I think adding the and or clearly comports with the evidence presented. It's also, this is clearly a conspiracy charge, and in an earlier instruction, it specifically says an agreement between one or more persons does not require multiple persons to enter into that agreement. So considering that it comports with the crime of conspiracy as well as the evidence presented, I think that that is well within the court's discretion to do that, and that it would be appropriate, as well as complying with standard jury instructions. Looking at number 4, I don't see the same issue there that defense is pointing out. It clearly says to commit the crimes of murder in the first degree of Tylee Ryan and grand theft by deception. I don't see where those are separated out differently. I think the and is there. So I think that is written appropriately, and I'm not sure of the objection there. With regard to number five, I think that absolutely comports with the standard Idaho standard jury instruction. Again, I think it comports with evidence presented in this case and is appropriate. However, we would leave five within the discretion of the court for the court to make the determination, but we believe that they are appropriate as written and comply and comport with evidence and the Idaho standard jury instructions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. This one, on paragraph three, where it has an and or, I will agree with the state on that there are other instructions that cover that and the nature of a conspiracy where someone can, for example, enter later on. I think the evidence presented and the way it was charged in this case, it does not have the and or language in the information, which I considered, but also looking at the evidence that came about, and it does list all three people as co-conspirators, Lori Noreen Vallow, Chad Daybell, and Alex Cox. I think that given the other instructions that clarify how a conspiracy can be entered into, perhaps at different times, and also looking at the evidence of this case, that it would be appropriate to allow the jurors to consider the and or element of that as it relates to this charge. The paragraph four, I think, does comport with the way the indictment now reads and has read, that it is a crime charge, the first degree murder and grand theft, and so it's got that conjunctive in there, combining them together essentially by using the word and. On five, I do wonder if, because of the way it is charged, it wouldn't be more appropriate for it to read that the defendant intended that, and take out at least one of, and have it read the defendant intended that the crimes would be committed. So if I remove the at least one of language, that I think may assist the defense, at least in terms of their addressing that question of whether or not this provides an option that's not contained in the charging document. I'm not entirely sure I want to remove that or not, but I'd like to hear some further commentary if you think that would be an appropriate way to amend that to more accurately reflect. Mr. Archibald, any thoughts on that? If it read the defendant intended that the crimes would be committed, as to just paragraph five, understanding you maintain your other objections, would that resolve that issue on five?
Yes. I think that if we struck at least one of, because the way that it's charged, it needs to be both. So the defendant intended that the crimes, again, crimes plural, I think the way that the grand jury charged it, they called first degree murder and grand theft one crime. If paragraph five reads the defendant intended that the crime would be committed.
All right. Any further response on that from the state?
Your Honor, I think given the nature of the defense's concern, and maybe even what sounds like the court's concern, while the state does believe that this complies with the standard jury instructions, and that I think there is other language contained in the instructions regarding there doesn't have to be agreement as to every element or every act taken, I think given the concerns, the state would defer to the court on this. Again, we think it complies, but we would just defer to the court's discretion.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Blake. The court is going to amend that paragraph five so the at least one of language will come out. It will still say crimes plural, not singular, so it will read the defendant intended that the crimes would be committed, and we'll amend 28 to reflect that Beyond that, any other further objections or comments on 28 from the defense?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. We will move on then to 29.
And the state has no objection to 29.
All right. From the defense?
Objection to instruction number 29.
Very well. Instruction 29 will be provided. Instruction number 30. I'll just note here, this instruction in many ways tracks instruction 28 that we just went through. And so the court is going to, on paragraph 5 of 30, using the same logic that was on 28, take out the at least one of, and it will read, so paragraph 5 will read, the defendant intended that the crimes would be committed. And so with that amendment, I'll hear from the state whether you've got any objections to that or any other part of this.
And, Your Honor, I think we have the exact same comments on this that we would have on jury instruction 28. I'm anticipating the similar objections by defense. The state stands by our arguments that were previously put on the record. I think they are appropriate.
Okay. From the defense, do you also incorporate the same argument she had on 28?
Yes, Your Honor, that paragraph 3 does not appropriately reflect what my client was indicted on, and paragraph 5 as well misstates what we believe the law is. So those are our objections to instruction number 30.
All right. For the same rationale as indicated in 28, I'll overrule those other objections. I will make the amendment to paragraph 5, taking out that at least one of the, or at least one of, language. And the other objections are overruled, so 30 will be amended in conformity with that and be provided. Instruction number 31.
And, Your Honor, just briefly, on instruction number 30, just so that it mirrors 28, on that number 5, I know the court has indicated we're going to take out at least one of. On this one, there's an S in brackets, and on the last one, there is no S in brackets. The state doesn't care which way it's written, but just if we want to be consistent.
Okay, and I'll intend to make that consistent, and it will read crimes without the bracket on the S. All right, let's look at 31 next.
The state does not have any objection to 31.
Yes, you may.
Jury instruction number 31, we had brought to the court's attention that the way this jury instruction reads is not how the grand jury indicted her. And counts 2 and 4, the way my client was indicted, says that as part of a common scheme or plan or continuing criminal transaction between Madison and Fremont counties, was concerned in the commission of a first-degree murder and did aid and abet in its commission, or not being present, advised and encouraged its commission, or by command compelled another to commit the crime, and did so with malice aforethought, and did so willfully, deliberately, and with premeditation. So the way jury instruction number 31 reads, the defendant engaged in conduct, or did aid, abet, advise, counsel, or procure another to engage in conduct which caused the death of J.J. Vallow with malice aforethought, and the murder was willful, deliberate, and premeditated. So my client was indicted as part of a common scheme or plan or continuing criminal transaction. That's not contained in jury instruction 31. The word counsel in jury instruction number 31 was not part of her indictment. Procure another is not, that's contained in jury instruction 31, is not part of her indictment. So we believe the court in jury instruction number 31 is instructing this jury completely different than how the grand jury indicted her. That would, these arguments would also go then to the previous count 2 in the indictment, or instruction
29. Okay. All right, so the paraphrasing here, but the defense has raised an objection, and now I'm addressing the state that I recognize there's Idaho Criminal Jury Instruction 704A, which is the standard instruction for first-degree murder, malice aforethought, contains certain language in that, and they are objecting based on differing language contained in the indictment. So how does the state respond to that disparity between the language of the indictment and the language of the standard malice aforethought jury instruction?
Thank you, Your Honor. With regard to the first part, the common scheme or plan or continuing criminal transaction between Madison and Fremont counties in Idaho, the state's position would be that was a preliminary issue regarding venue in order to have both counties as a potential place where the crime was committed when the actual element is to prove within the state of Idaho. So that was a preliminary issue dealing with venue, and I do not believe is a required element to be proven, so would not be included on jury instructions. So that's the state's response with regard to that. The second part, we would argue that this does comport with the standard Idaho criminal jury instructions, and it is the language contained under the statute for which Ms. Vallow is currently charged with regard to. The language comes from the principal statute under the Idaho Code, and then is attached to the crime of first-degree murder as a principal to first-degree murder. So the language is contained within the statute, and the language does comport with the Idaho standard criminal jury instructions.
All right. Well, in terms of the first objection as the common scheme or plan or continuing criminal transaction, I'll overrule that objection based on the argument of the state that that goes more towards venue than any other substantive element of the crime. The second part of the objection, I had seen this and thought about it, and upon hearing argument, I do think there's a further concern that needs to be discussed about some language that is in the standard instruction but not in the indictment, and that is the terms counsel and procure, because the indictment talks about advised, encouraged, or by command compelled another. Doesn't have any counsel or procure language, and I guess I'd like to hear a response from the state as to whether it would be appropriate to include those terms when they're not in the indictment.
Yes, Your Honor, and I was just comparing the exact language of the indictment with the language in the jury instruction. So we do have the did aid and abet, which is contained in both. We do have the not being present, advised, and encouraged its commission. So I guess if we are going to make the changes, I would recommend or propose that it be changed to advised and encouraged its commission. Then we do have or by command compelled another to commit the crime. And so I think if the court were to consider taking out counsel or procured, then we would ask that the language be modified to have it be advised and or encouraged its commission, or by command compelled another to commit the crime, and include that in here. Because I do think when we have procure another, I think that is essentially synonymous with commanding or compelling another to do it. If the court wanted to change the language to reflect the indictment, I think we could do that. But we would object to it just being completely taken out. And I think the counsel is covered by encouraging its commission. So I think if you counsel or encourage another, I think those could also be synonymous. But again, if the court is to modify it, we would ask that we include those additional terms then.
All right. Any final argument as to those terms from the defense?
No, Your Honor.
That wraps up segment number one of our coverage in today's courtroom action of the trial of Lori Vallow-Daybell. There's more to come. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it right here.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow-Daybell from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.